Welcome. You're listening to a sermon podcast from Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Oak Hills. It is good to be with you today. Welcome to those who are online. We know many people are online each week and probably many more this week for obvious reasons. So it is good to be together today. About 10 years ago, just from my own personal experience and a significant set of events that happened to me about a decade ago, I found myself in a series of events and experiences that was maybe for the first time helping me to see how important reconciliation is in the kingdom gospel and as a ministry of God's people as we go out into the world. And for those of you who have been around for that amount of time, you might remember that in that period, we talked a lot about the communion table. We talked about it as a central act of worship in the history of the church. We talked about it as also a symbol and a sign of the reconciling power of God, not only between humans and God, but also between humans and humans. And so that has been a thing that we have tried to emphasize over and over again over the last decade. And for the last several weeks, we've been in this series on practicing faith. And these different disciplines or practices that we can engage in to kind of live this out so it's not just something that we come and listen to or hear about. And today, we are going to press into this idea of reconciliation as an important practice and an important outworking of the gospel within us. And we are extremely privileged to have Dr. Salim Munayer here from Israel, and he will be speaking with us both today during the service and then during the workshop as well. But before we get into all that, it's just good for us to reflect for a minute as we come here today. We come here recognizing and aware of the fact that it is a divided world. It is a fractured world. The divisions and the fractures are all around us. They're in our nation. They're all around the world. And yet, we remember, we proclaim, we declare that Jesus Christ is King, even as all these fractures unfold. And our prayer today is that through God's Spirit, through what Salim brings to us, through our own interactions with one another, that the goodness of the kingdom would be stirred in us and the ministry of reconciliation would be stirred as well. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Spirit, we are grateful for the gift that we have today of Salim, his life, his experience, the way you have moved in him throughout his days, and what you have formed in him. And we pray that you will give him your words today, that your peace will rest upon him, and that we will have ears that can hear what you might be saying to us through him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. When talking about reconciliation, and we talk a lot about reconciliation in the church, but mostly we emphasize the relationship between us as individual and God. We talk a little bit about reconciliation between each other. Matter of fact, if you look in the church history, reconciliation between people, we are failure. Let's be honest about that. And the failing it throughout history, but also we have good example, does not reflect what God is doing. So in recent years, I was reflecting back on what the Bible talk about reconciliation. Because I grew up, and I've been taught theologically, you have the horizontal or vertical reconciliation. You reconcile with Jesus, then you reconcile with your brothers and sisters. It is too individualistic. It's conditioned like if you don't reconcile with God, you cannot reconcile with others. It's coming in European context, and it doesn't really fully represent what Paul and what Jesus were saying, what Jesus did, and what Paul was teaching us about reconciliation. For our verse is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We will not read all of that. We'll go for verse 17. But before I'm going to read the verse, let's have our thought, mind, looking on Paul. Paul coming from the Pharisaic school. And in order to deal with the political, social, religious upheaval that Paul's time was dealing, there was a desire of the Israelites to keep themselves as much separate from the rest. And the separation from the rest was by purity of laws. Separation came in the form of saying, oh, we are different than other people. We have the covenant of circumcision. We are chosen people. And the pagan, matter of fact, they are empty vessels. And Paul was zealous for that because he believed if we keep ourselves clean and pure and faithful to the interpretation of the rabbi of the covenant, we, the Messiah, will come and deliver us. In matter of fact, in that pre-Christ event for Paul, in his way to Damascus, Paul represent at that time a typical religious people in political upheaval that they're living in. They choose pietism, to become more religious in order to deal with situation. And pietism is the act of the cowards. This is really important to understand. Because the children of Israel were called to be light to the nation, to bring the message of God. The children of Israel, they were built not on purity of blood or DNA, was built on faithfulness to the covenant. You belong to the children of Israel, not you because you belong, you're born to the tribe. That happened later in rabbinical Judaism. After the second temple destroyed, the second century, they changed the definition who is a Jew, the one that born to a mother, not faithfulness to the covenant. And circumcision is a symbol, is a declaration. In order to deal with that, in the Gospel of Matthew, when giving us the genealogy of Jesus, they don't talk about Sarah, Rivka, Leah, and Rachel. They're bringing the names of the genealogy of Jesus and King David to Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute, Ruth, the Moabite, when she went in the full moonlight and showed her legs to Boaz and he fell in love with her. That's really what's happened. And the Moabite are Arabs. Dear me, King David, Jesus has Arab blood in it. Oh dear, in today's racism, that will not go well. And Bathsheba, why do you think Matthew put that in the genealogy? Because he was dealing at that time with racism, that people thought that if I born to the right father and mother, to the right ethnic, religious, color group, I'm better than the others. And Matthew said, that doesn't work. That's not the people of God. And he was dealing with that. So that was a revelation that Paul had on the way to Damascus. It's not built on DNA. It's built on faith. No wonder Martin Luther said, faith alone. It all the time was faith. Then, life of Jesus. Jesus going to the Samaritan area, the enemy. He meet a woman in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. If a woman by herself at the water well in the middle of the day, that means this woman is a trouble. You don't talk to her. Because women go to the well in the morning or nighttime with a group of women. She was alone at the well. That means nobody wants to go with her. She was carrying. Every time she went from her village to the well, she was putting the shame symbol on herself. And Jesus approached her and asked her to drink. He approving her. And they have, we have here one of the most beautiful theological argument between a woman and a man, Israelite, a Jew. Women not supposed to talk theology. That was at that time. Some people until today think so. Sadly to say. This is the story of Martha. You say they need, the women were not allowed to study the scripture. And Jesus answers this woman and deliver and her, liberate her and other people that they think that if they live in a certain geographical location where the temple of, in Jerusalem, Gerizim, they are more accurate, they are more closer to God, and said, it will be a time we'll worship him in truth and spirit. Liberating us from political manipulation about places. How many places around the world people have fights on holy sites? If I met our Nina from India, there is clashes on temples and mosques. Haram Sharif Temple Mount, until today, there is fights on it. It's been liberated from the political manipulation of geographical religious holy sites. Then you have the Good Samaritan, because the argument about that time is, who is my neighbor? Because the commandments say, love God and love your neighbor like yourself. And there was an argument about the, between the rabbis, who is my other, the neighbor? And Jesus said, with the story, it was a naked man. You could not know which ethnic religious group. So the priest and the Levite, coming down from Jerusalem, looked around. Oh, nobody around. It's okay. Why Jesus said they were coming down from Jerusalem? Because they finished the duty in the temple and they don't need to be pure. Because before you do the temple service, you have to be pure. And the Samaritan, the enemy. Matter of fact, what Jesus is saying, it's not who is the other, it is who are you? Who are you? So that you have that model that Jesus was confronting, especially with the women from Sidon. She is a Hellenized Greek, and her daughter sick, full of demon. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. And she said to him, even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table. She was humbling herself, but she's building her faith in Jesus in spite of gender, ethnicity. And if she has a daughter with demons, what in the world she is involved with? You go, you run away from. So that's one world of Second Temple Judaism, exclusivity, ethnic and religious superiority toward others, that it's been challenged. But the other one, it's the Roman Empire. They had also the reason, to be Roman, you're better. In the Roman Empire, 25% of the population were slaves, no right. And class built upon other people's class. And Roman Empire built its power and attracted people. It's in its wealth, but also with the sword of the Roman Empire, the Pax Romana, the peace. Peace that's built on military power. Sound familiar? And if anyone dare, we will crush them. And the way we'll crush them is the most horrible, painful act, crucifixion. That's the way. Symbol. Who dare to deal with the Roman Empire? Because when Mary learned from the angel that she is going to have the child, when she was praising God, she used all the title of Caesar Augustus. She was a rebellious woman. You know, sometimes we see Mary, oh, poor lady. She was powerful lady. She was saying things against the Roman Empire. She was saying, Jesus is a true king. Jesus is a true king and not Caesar. That act of rebellion. Act of rebellion. So in the Roman Empire, with the events of Christ, something happened. And I would like us to look together because it's really, really interesting. And if we go into it in depth, it is revolutionary. And that's what happened to me. Chapter 5, and also because of sake of time, I'll go to verse 17. Therefore, after describing what everything that God did for us in Christ, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Jesus not only reconciled us as individuals to God on the cross, the Christ event, the whole history of the world have changed. The language that Paul is using, the language in the book of Acts, is the language of Genesis. It's a new creation. Mary came when she found out the tomb is empty in Sunday. Sunday is the first day of creation. It's a language of new creation. God, in his love to the world through Christ, that he proved, he is doing something new. He's changing all the foundational, political, everything in the world is changing. So it is, we are in transitional time between what it used to now until his full kingdom, his full revelation will come. In Revelation chapter 21, 22, we see new creation, new heaven, new earth. It's not that we are being raptured there. It is that God come and dwell among us. And the leaves of the tree will be healing to the nation. There will no more death, no more cry, no more pain. How much death and cry we have today in the world. In Gaza, Ukraine, many places, Iran and Sudan. Just name it all around the world. So many people are in miserable situation. And God is saying all humanity will come a day that fully they will deliver from the curse that's been put on humanity because of the disobedience and the work of Satan. But there is not only new creation. He's saying if you are in Christ, abide in Christ. It's not because you go to church. It's not because you've been baptized. It's not, and by the way, that's important to come to church. Pastor Mike is telling me to tell you. It's important to be baptized, important to all of that. But here he's saying if you are in Christ, abiding in him, clinging him, Jesus said to his disciple, follow me. We're not following a set of laws. We're not following a set of creed as important. Jesus said, follow me, be like me, believe in me, and do greater things than I am. That is the Christian faith. In him. And we need to abide. So if we are in him, and this word in him, it's very, very important here then. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. With Jesus' resurrection and going to the Father, there is new things happening in the world. And Paul is saying to us, we are invited to join with God what he's doing in new things. And all this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you look into those verses, you see what God is doing and what God is calling us to join him. It's like going back to Eden. to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Adam and Eve, where are the vicar, the representative of God in the garden, giving names, ruling, and representing God in the temple. And that what we are, the language that we are called back. So God gave us a ministry of reconciliation. But not only ministry of reconciliation, he's saying to there that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them. He has committed us the message of reconciliation. Not only ministry, message. A message, it's a word, gospel. In the Roman Empire, when Caesar come with a decree, the people that work for the Roman Empire, their role, their job is to take this message of Caesar from Rome to the end of the Roman Empire. And we're taking the message of Christ risen from Jerusalem to the end of the world. It's contra-empire language. Do you understand what he's saying, Paul? Paul here is using Roman Empire, imperial language to say the true king is not in Rome, the true king is Jesus, and our role and our place and our duty is to take this message of love of God to all people to the end of the earth. And that's what we are doing. So it's not pietism. It's not closing ourselves in a small community with more walls, more way of becoming unwelcoming to other people that are not like us. They don't look, talk the same language. They have a different color. No, he's saying, you go to them. They are not supposed to come to you. And that is very, very important message that I'll show also in the workshop that we have. So we have a ministry, we have a message that is giving us, and that, but not only a message, we are therefore Christ's ambassador as though God were making his appeal through us. I live in Jerusalem, and one of the curses of Jerusalem, it has many curses, by the way, and many beauty, is diplomats. And when, well, don't be offended, when the American ambassador come to Jerusalem, we all, the Jerusalemites say, oh no, they're going to stop all the traffic, we're going to have traffic jams, already we have a traffic jams. If you want to go and pick up your kids from school, it's not half an hour, it's going to take an hour. We don't like them because they block the roads. They drive all those big black vans with all those police. And they come talk to our officials. The role of the ambassador is to bring a message truthfully to what his president or prime minister brought them. And some of them are my friends. I have to confess, some of them are my friends, some of those ambassadors. They learn the language of the people, they learn the culture of the people, they speak Arabic or Hebrew. They go to other people. It's not the people, the other people come to you. They go to the other people. And that, the incarnational model, reconciliation calling us to reach out to other people with this message and not to wait because we have a nice building and we have a nice worship and we have good children program. It's important, all of that. For people to go, we need to reach out to them, that to be ambassador of the king. And not only that, he's saying that God speaks to the world through us. Each one of you, each one of us, so essential, so important in the message that God has to the world. What Paul is doing here? Oh, no wonder they killed the early Christian. He's saying in this context of the Roman Empire, there is the ecclesia, the church. The church is contra-empire. If the empire call us to submit to Caesar. The church is calling us to submit to the King of Kings, to his kingdom. It's a political language. If the Roman Empire say you need to bring the message of the Roman Empire to the world through the Pax Romana, the sword of the Roman Empire, the church need to bring the message of the true King of the world through the cross, through his peace, reconciliation. If the Roman Empire say you will go up the ladder of the Roman Empire with your faithfulness and acceptance of the Roman culture and religion, or if you live in a Jewish community, you have to change who you are in order to be accepted. He's saying, no, God accepted you, who you are, how you are, and he welcomed you into his kingdom. It is an amazing message that the church here become a community of people, a body of people that function in the world as contra to the evilness of political system. And that is a tension. From one side, we need to obey the political leaders, Romans chapter 13. But they are accountable to God. They are limited. And they abuse their power, as Prophet Samuel said about to the Israelites. You want a king? Voila, have a king. But remember, you will take your children to the army to fight for him. You will have your daughters work for you, for him in the temple, in the palace, sorry. And he will take taxes from you. Sound familiar? So we are living in the world in tension. Because I find out in my country, people that are giving their political alliance, allegiance to the state, to the nation, to the political leaders, they are there. It's needed to deal with chaos. God appointed them, but also God saying to us, there are higher allegiance that we have to keep to, is to the kingdom of God and Jesus. And don't be deceived by current political leaders. In my country, we have a prime minister that the court says he's corrupt, and he's prime minister. And some people worship him. That in my country, not your country. So how are we going to live that? And not only that, that we have here before I move on. And it is saying something else. He's saying, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The justice of God will be demonstrated. And we can continue reading those verses in Ephesians chapter 2. And Colossians, and more about reconciliation. But in our reality, when we come to practice it, we fail again and again. That's what happened to me. When I tried to have my Israeli and Palestinian student come together, and they were arguing, they were both believers in Jesus. It was not working out. And out of desperation, I have decided to take 15 Israeli, 15 Palestinian students, and we went to the desert. I was desperate, not because there was certain wisdom or word from God, out of desperation. And we were staying in a big Bedouin tent, and we had our dinner. We sang a few songs like you. Nighttime come, the Israeli went to sleep in one side, the Palestinian went to sleep in the other side, and my Israeli colleague and myself, we slept in the middle and jokingly said with one eye open. It was not working out. We got up in the morning, and I brought 15 camels. On each camel, I put Israeli and Palestinian on one camel. And we crossed the desert for 3 days. And in the beginning, it was so noisy. People were objecting, why camel, why, it's painful, smelly. and all of that. But slowly, slowly, they become quiet. As they become quiet, they're beginning to listen to each other. They were listening to themselves. And they realize that we are a little bit in God's creation. There is God. And the other that we were competing, hating, disliking, become an asset for our survival. People that we compete on many sources, people that we fight with, suddenly those people become the essential aspect of our survival, of drinking water and eating together, bringing the fact that we are all human, created in God's image and likeness. And when you hate your enemy, you become like your enemy. We discovered each other. The desert in the Bible is very, very important because God took the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt and took them to the desert. But they were still slave in their mind, in their identity. Because when there is conflict, the first casualty is identity. Without identity restoration, rebuilding, we cannot have reconciliation with our brothers and sisters. And our reconciliation happens when we encounter the ultimate other of humanity that become human being is Jesus. And when we encounter Jesus and our identity change and transformed, we're able to relate to others in a different way. It's really essential. I was going to a church, and I used to sit this side. I didn't sit that side, because on that side, those are the people that I disagree politically with. So before the church, we used to argue outside, like standing up, drinking coffee, and arguing about the event of the day. A lot of argument. And we were both believers. And so I used to sit with my wife and children on one side. Do you think I was listening to anything the pastor was saying? All my mind was wrapped up in argument against those sides of people. I was not listening to God. I was wrapped up with myself. And really misunderstanding what it's mean to have our thought, our idea, our political position. They are very, very important, but there are certain political opinion, moral, ethical, higher than mine. It's what we call the politic of Jesus. That he is higher than anything. That he sanctified the body. That we have to live and to relate to each other differently than the people outside. That in the church we'll have the Samaritan woman. That in the church we'll have the Hellenistic woman that has a daughter who's demon possessed. In the church we'll have the woman that's been caught in prostitute and Jesus had mercy upon her. She's welcome there in spite of color, of gender or nationality. Or where Peter went to Cornelius, and he went to the army general of the people that conquer his people, and he goes to his house. And the first thing he says shows you how much Peter was racist. He said, God does not differentiate between people. All people are equal before God. I thought that Peter learned that lesson already before. But Peter is Peter, as you know. That he's like us. He's like us. We fall, we stand. We fall, we stand. And he fell and stand. So in this time in history, our history in the Middle East is very much affected by your history, by your politics. Your history, your nation is connected also with us. And we can be wrapped up with a political argument discussions. It's important, it has its place, but we need to be wrapped up with the politic of the kingdom of God. Maybe the word politics is not important, is not the right word. It becomes a dirty word. But as John Stott said, when Jesus declared himself as a king, it's a political term. The kingdom of God is a political term. It's a different type of politics. It's not politic of domination. It's a politic of service. It's not a politic of hating the other because of they are different. It's loving the neighbors. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy thirsty, give him a water. That is practical for our reality that we're living today. Let us learn to live according to the kingdom of God principle. Let us pray. Father, we come before you to give you the praise and the glory and honor. We thank you that in Jesus there is a new creation, that you are inviting us to join you in the process of reconciling the whole creation back to yourself, people, ethnic group, women, men, children, and your creation. Help us, Lord, to be here and now, your ambassadors, awaiting, looking for the day that your glory will come and shine upon us and deliver us from all pain and all evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.